What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, these NBA playoffs are getting really good. Things are starting to heat up in every single series. They are all close right now. A couple of them are tied up, and then a couple others could be tied up after tonight. So let's see where we're at with the NBA Conference semifinals after the weekend's games, beginning with the Indianapolis Pacers. Indiana Pacers versus the New York Knicks series, game three. The Pacers, they did what they needed to do in this one. It was a very close, tense battle pretty much all the way through, especially in the fourth quarter, but they really held it down. They held it down defensively. They held it down in the paint, and they just did not let the Knicks walk out of that building with the win during game three. And so the Pacers got the win 111-106. Tyrese Halliburton had a huge game, 35 points and 7 assists. And then Pascal Siakam was right there behind him with 26 points and 7 rebounds. And it was just an all-around, just amazing game from the Pacers. And then game four, they smashed the Knicks out of the building. This game wasn't even close. It was ended up being 121-89 Pacers. That's how dominating this game was. And it was pretty much like that from the first quarter. I mean, the Pacers had the lead the entire way. And it was kind of crazy, too, because Tyrese Halliburton didn't play the entire game. And it's not because they were out, they were so far ahead. It's just because he's been battling through injuries, as it seems a lot of players are right now. But he sat out a lot of the game due to some of the injuries that he's been suffering along the way. But he still was able to drop 20 points in that game. And it was just straight-up domination by the Pacers. Right now, the Knicks are looking like the injuries are starting to catch up to them. And, you know, you could say that, though, about every team at this point in time. I mean, there's so many injuries that continue to stack up. There's even one more in one of the series tonight. We'll get to that, though, when we get to it. But the injuries are really piling up for every team. But the Knicks, they've been battling through the injuries all season long. Seems like Brunson's been shouldering the load, and he's had no issues doing it. But these last couple of games, the Knicks have fallen short. So we'll see what they've got in Game 5. Game 5 is Tuesday night. Right now, the series is tied up at 2. So we have us a series, folks, in this one. Then in the Denver Nuggets versus the Minnesota Timberwolves series, the Nuggets are looking like the Nuggets again. In Game 3, they got the win 117-90, and it was just straight-up domination by Denver. Minnesota did come out the gate looking pretty hot, but then Denver just ran away with it, especially in the second half. Jokic had a solid game, 24 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. Jamal Murray dropped 24 points, and then Michael Porter Jr. also added in another 21 points. And then in Game 4, the Nuggets looked like the Nuggets do. They got another win, 115-107. Jokic had 35 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists. And then Aaron Gordon had 27 points. And Jamal Murray, actually, you could tell he's finally starting to get healthier. Don't know how healthy he's going to be able to get, but he definitely has been healthier these last couple of games. And it's really shown for Denver because, you know, Jokic, he doesn't have any issues, but it's just the guys surrounding him need to step it up. And they were able to do that in these last two games. And Game 5 is Tuesday night, and this series is also tied up at 2. So we also have us a good-ass series in that one. Then in the Dallas Mavericks versus the Oklahoma City Thunder series, in Game 3, the Mavericks were able to get a crazy close win, 105-101 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Luka had a game. He went off, 22 points, 15 rebounds. And then P.J. Washington had yet another great game, 27 points. And that's really what the Mavericks have needed. They need somebody else besides Luka to step it up. You know, Luka needs to continue to do his thing, but somebody else needs to step up. And so far, P.J. Washington has been that dude the last couple of games. And Game 4 is tonight, Monday night, and Dallas right now has a 2-1 lead over Oklahoma City. So we'll see if Oklahoma City's able to tie that one up or if the Mavericks are able to take a solid lead in that series. And then the final series, Boston Celtics versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Game 3 went as expected. It was straight-up Boston Celtics demolition derby. They smashed the Cavaliers 106-93. Tatum had almost a triple-double. He had 33 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists. Jaylen Brown had almost a double-double with 28 points and 9 rebounds, and it was just all Boston all night. Game 4 is tonight, and unfortunately for the Cleveland Cavaliers, there's going to be no Donovan Mitchell. He is injured, and so he will not be playing tonight, and that's, to me, I mean, I already thought this series was pretty much done anyways, just because Boston is so much better than the Cleveland Cavaliers. But now, with no Donovan Mitchell, it's going to make things a lot more difficult. I do have the game on right now. Let's see. It's the first quarter, and Boston's up 37-28. So, obviously, that's how that game is going right now. And we'll see where we are on Friday, if we have any of these series closed out. And if we know who's headed to the conference finals, or if we're going to have some game sevens on tap, I don't know. But these series, all four of them, I'd say three of the four. I mean, the Cavaliers have made it interesting a little bit, but I just kind of feel like Boston's going to roll through that one. But the other three series, they are looking really good. And if Oklahoma City's able to tie that one up tonight, we're going to have us three tight series. And then in other basketball news, the NBA draft lottery was held last night, so we now know the official order of the 2024 draft in June. So the number one overall pick this year is going to the Atlanta Hawks. So it's already been looking like the Hawks are going to trade Trae Young in the offseason, and they should get a pretty decent haul for him since he is a good player. But now they have the number one overall pick, which I feel like kind of seals that deal for sure. But good for them. They definitely need that number one overall pick. Who knows if it's going to help them, but Atlanta Hawks are now on the clock. Number two pick is the Washington Wizards. Number three, the Houston Rockets. Number four, the San Antonio Spurs, who have two top 10 picks. They have the fourth pick and the eighth pick. Number five pick goes to the Detroit Pistons. Number six, the Charlotte Hornets. Number seven, Portland Trail Blazers. Number eight, like I said, the Spurs. Number nine, the Memphis Grizzlies. 10, Utah Jazz. 11, Chicago Bulls. 12, Oklahoma City Thunder. 13, Sacramento Kings. 14, Portland Trail Blazers. 15, Miami Heat. 16, Philadelphia 76ers. 17, Los Angeles Lakers. 18, Orlando Magic. 19, Toronto Raptors. 20, Cleveland Cavaliers. 21, New Orleans Pelicans. 22, Phoenix. 23, Milwaukee Bucks, 24, New York Knicks, 25, New York Knicks, 26, Washington Wizards, 27, Minnesota Timberwolves, 28, Denver Nuggets, 29, Utah Jazz, and rounding out the draft this year at number 30 is going to be the Boston Celtics. But as I said, right now the Atlanta Hawks are on the clock, and we'll be seeing who they take here in about a month or so. Moving on to some baseball and the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. We do have a couple new teams who have worked their way into the top 10 this week. One not so new, but they've been absent for a couple of weeks for good reason. And then one new team that we have on the horizon here. So let's get it started with ranked number one this week on the top 10 MLB power rankings remains the Philadelphia Phillies. Over a record of 28-13, they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Toronto Blue Jays and the Miami Marlins. And this team is just getting it done in so many different ways. They have no problem scoring runs, but this is one of the deepest starting pitching lineups in the league. They've got Ranger Suarez, who is having a career year with 7 wins, a 1.50 ERA, and 55 strikeouts. Then you have Zach Wheeler, who's also having a phenomenal year with 4 wins, a 2.53 ERA, and 65 strikeouts. He leads the team with the strikeouts. And, you've got Aaron Nola having a great year. And this starting pitching is just really, really difficult to score on. And then their lineup is just out of control. And Phillies, they've been on the precipice. You know, last year they made a nice little playoff run. The year before that, they made it to the World Series. So this is a team, you look at them and go, if they keep playing like this, this is a front runner for the World Series at this point. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 27-15, 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Miami Marlins, but lost a series to the San Diego Padres, which is crazy because The Padres have owned the Dodgers the last couple of seasons. I mean, they actually ended the Dodgers playoff run, what, like 2 years ago? So in surprising fashion, by the way, too. So it's crazy to see the ownage right now that the Padres have on the Dodgers, and I'm here for it, by the way. Not a fan of either team, but if the Dodgers are down and out, I'm all about that. But I will say, a couple of their offseason moves, I was already talking about Shohei Ohtani last week and Glasnow and them having their career years. Well, a couple other offseason pickups this past offseason are having great years as well. Teoscar Hernandez, he's got 11 home runs and 33 RBI on the season. And he leads the team in RBI right now. And then you have their new starting pitcher, Yamamoto. He's got 4 wins on the season with a 2.79 ERA and 47 strikeouts. So, I mean, the Dodgers have a plethora of talent. And it looks like they're going to be dominating the regular season yet again. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Baltimore Orioles. Overall record of 26-13. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Washington Nationals and the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they are also just getting a lot of offense in many different ways. One of them, of course, is Adley Rutschman. He's batting a .304 right now with 6 home runs and 23 RBI on the season. And then they're starting pitching. They're starting to get stronger and look better as the season goes on. One of their offseason pickups, Cole Irvin, he's got 4 wins on the season with a 2.90 ERA and 28 strikeouts. So this Baltimore Orioles team tops in the American League for sure. But, you know, I picked them to be the representative in the American League for the World Series. And so far, they're living up to that hype. Then at number 4 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees. Overall record of 27-15. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. They took the series this week against the Houston Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays. And they are now starting to get going offensively. That's been an issue for them. You know, their starting pitching has really been carrying them. But now their core is starting to get going. You know, Soto's been pretty much their only source of offense. But now Aaron Judge, he's finally getting back on track. He's hit a few home runs over the last couple of weeks. He's up to 10 home runs and 27 RBI on the season. But Anthony Rizzo's also having a nice little resurgent season here, batting a .265 with 7 home runs and 22 RBIs. And over the last couple of weeks, both Rizzo and Judge really starting to get hot. Soto's starting to maintain his dominance. Stanton's having a pretty solid season. And this Yankees lineup, Gleyber Torres, he's also had a good couple of weeks as well. So this team's really starting to get going. And then, of course, Anthony Volpe, he's actually been one of their most consistent guys as well as Soto. So you got to really watch out for the Yankees. I mean, it was shaky there for a bit for them, but I didn't expect it to last that long with Judge especially. I kind of felt like he's still kind of shaking off the rust from that that toe injury he had last year. And now he's looking like he's getting back on track. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Cleveland Guardians, overall record of 25-16. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games, so that did kind of make me think, do I want to knock them down a peg? But I did not. I still think they're a pretty solid team. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Detroit Tigers, but almost got swept by the Chicago White Sox, who are one of the worst teams in the league, so that's not anything to write home about, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I almost dropped Cleveland down, but I didn't just because, like I said, I still think Cleveland is more reliable and better than the teams below them, so I kept them up there, but we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks with them. But Jose Ramirez, he seems to finally be back on track as well, batting a .235, which isn't lights out, but that's not what he's normally known for. It's really the RBIs and the home runs is what he's known for. He's got 9 home runs on the season and 33 RBI. And then, unfortunately, one of their best guys on offense and yet another blow to this team is Stephen Kwan. He's been put on the injured list. I believe I talked about it last week, but, you know, he's on the injured list and he's a huge source of their offense. And you could tell it was a problem for them, especially in that White Sox series. But, you know, the Guardians have been able to overcome it for the most part this season. We'll see if they're able to overcome it throughout the rest of the season. But like I said, they're starting to slip a bit, but not enough for me to drop them in the power rankings just yet. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Minnesota Twins, overall record of 24-16. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, which is why I almost put them above the Guardians, but I still trust them more. This week, they did take the series against the Seattle Mariners and the Toronto Blue Jays. And it's really just the Minnesota Twins are on a tear right now. They're on their best run in 16 years. That's how well they're playing. And it says a lot because, you know, this team's been pretty terrible for a while. They've actually won 17 out of their last 20 games. So they are playing well. The thing is, I just can't really put together how they're doing it. Now, I haven't watched any Twins games this year. And when I was looking up their stats and just kind of what they've been doing over the last couple of weeks, I'm like, what is this team doing to win? It just looks like they're playing great team baseball. Their starting pitching is holding it down, and they're just scoring runs when they need to score runs. I probably should pay a little bit more attention to them because it looks like they're going to be something, at least for this first half of this season. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the San Diego Padres, overall record of 22-21. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Chicago Cubs and the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they're really getting hot offensively. You know, their starting pitching is actually really solid, too. They traded for Dylan Cease over in the offseason, and he has been money for them. He's got 5 wins. With a 2.19 ERA and 60 strikeouts. He has been fantastic in every one of his starts, pretty much. Then you've got Jurickson Profar, who's also having a great season, batting a 3.19, 6 home runs and 27 RBI. Machado's starting to get going. And Tatis, he really hasn't lost a step either. There was many questions, at least from my end, with Tatis. Didn't know if he was going to be able to bounce back from the last couple of seasons of injuries and then the suspension from the steroids and all of that. But right now, the Padres are on fire, and taking out the Dodgers is a big deal. We'll see if they're able to maintain this level of play for a while, but they're actually playing really solid, starting pitching looking great, and offensively, they are one of the best teams in the league right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Milwaukee Brewers, overall record of 24-16. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Kansas City Royals, but won a series over the St. Louis Cardinals. Peralta is having yet another solid year, 3 wins with a 3.63 ERA and 58 strikeouts. And then Adames has been huge offensively for them yet again, batting a 2.58 with 7 home runs and 27 RBI on the season. Brewers have been up and down the last couple of weeks, but they still are tops in their division and still playing really well. I feel like the Yelich injury has kind of held them back just a bit, but we'll see how the Brewers keep it moving as the season wears on. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Atlanta Braves. Overall record of 24-13. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Boston Red Sox and the New York Mets. And they're finally getting back on track. You know, the Braves have kind of started this season off slow. Acuña Jr. is not having a good year so far. And it's just been slow for the Braves. But, you know, you really can't count them out. They have way too much talent. And, you know, they've been here before. So this is a good team. But they've had their struggles over the last month here. But Marcell Ozuna has not had any struggles at all this season. He's been a huge source of offense for this team. Batting a 3.26 with 12 home runs and 40 RBI. And those are league-leading numbers, by the way. Those are tops in the league. I believe the RBI, he leads the league. The 12 home runs, I believe, is in second place or third place. Whatever, he's top 10 in everything right now. I don't know what's going on with Ozuna, but he's finally got his shit together, I guess. And he's having a fantastic year for the Braves, and they've really needed it in the absence of Acuña in his MVP play that they're used to getting over the last couple of years. And then Chris Sale, he is having a phenomenal year as well. You know, they picked him up in the offseason, and he's pretty much just been floundering with the Red Sox the last 3 or 4 years. Then, he was with the White Sox before that and kind of had to suffer through a bunch of injuries. But he seemed to have really locked it in with the Atlanta Braves right now. He's got 5 wins on the season with a 2.95 ERA and 52 strikeouts. So I guess this is what a healthy Chris Sale looks like. He's really solid, really dominant. Now, the thing is, he is very injury prone. So we'll see if this is able to last for the majority of the season or throughout the entire season. But right now, Chris Sale is looking like one of the best offseason pickups, especially for the Braves. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Chicago Cubs, overall record of 24-17. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the San Diego Padres and won the series over the Pittsburgh Pirates. And, you know, Shota Imanaga is still having a great year. He's got 5 wins on the season, a 1.08 ERA, which is the lowest in the league still, and 43 strikeouts. So you really just can't, it's really, really hard to score any runs on this dude. Then you also have Javier Assad having an amazing year as well. Three wins with a 1.70 ERA and 35 strikeouts. This Chicago Cubs starting pitching lineup, they got Justin Steele back. And, you know, I think they rival as one of the best starting pitching lineups in the league, right up there with the Phillies and, you know, the Phillies, the Cubs, the Guardians, I think, have a pretty good starting pitching lineup as well. Probably not as deep as them, but they're just always a reliable starting pitching lineup. The Padres starting to get up there, too, with the starting pitching. But I feel like the Cubs, they're going to be one of those shocking teams, I feel like. And you got the Brewers in their division. So it's going to be a battle between those two, which it already has been to start the season. And we do have a little bit of NFL news to round out today's episode. We are going to have the schedule release on Wednesday, so we will find out who everybody is playing. But over usually the couple of days leading up to the schedule release, we get a couple of previews of what's going on here, and we do know who is going to open up the season. Of course, since the Kansas City Chiefs are the Super Bowl champions, they, of course, there was no question that they were opening up the season because the Super Bowl champion always opens up the season. It's just, who is their opponent? Well, we are starting the season off right. It's going to be the Baltimore Ravens versus the Kansas City Chiefs to open up the season Thursday, September 5th. And, you know, that's the battle of the AFC Championship game right off the bat, right there to start the season. So that's how we're getting it started. And then another game leaked and was announced right before I started recording. And it's going to be my Dallas Cowboys playing the Cleveland Browns in week 1. And that is going to be Tom Brady's first ever game that he is going to be the color commentator for. So we will see what Tom Brady is all about this year and if he's actually good at announcing games, because it's not easy. It is not an easy job. There are some dudes who have transitioned to that role and are absolutely terrible at it. And then there are some who have transitioned into it and do a really good job at it. So we'll see what Brady's got with that. But his first game is going to be my Dallas Cowboys at the Cleveland Browns. So Wednesday is when we have the rest of the schedule released. I'm sure we're probably going to hear a couple more games Tuesday, but the official schedule release is going to be on Wednesday. And so we'll be talking some football on Friday's show, along with whatever else happens in the NBA conference semifinals. And then, of course, if we have anything in baseball or fighting or whatever else, just enjoy the rest of the week of sports. And I will talk to you all on Friday.